All right. Well, welcome to the Viking Press Pass. And joining me today is a great Augustana alumni, now on staff as a grad assistant down at Kansas State University. So Josh Wintrub. Josh, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, you're in Cincinnati, so you're not even in Kansas. So as you guys get set to play them, but so I appreciate you kind of fitting me into, you know, the tight baseball schedule, and I know the game had been moved up a little bit as well. So certainly appreciate it as always. Let's start kind of present time, and what we'll do is we'll kind of work ourselves back, you know, chronologically, and finish with Augie there towards the end. But you know, this is your first year on staff at K-State as a grad assistant, but second year, you know, associated with the program, because you obviously you pitched there last year. Now, talk to me just a little bit about like what your role is as a grad assistant, because I know you got your certificate in data analytics while you were there, and I think you're what, the director of analytics for the baseball team. Is that what you're currently doing?
Yeah, so I'm a grad assistant. Basically, I'm working. I finished my master's in data analytics. Turned in my last exam Monday, actually. And then, I call myself director of analytics, but really I'm just a grad assistant that kind of handles the analytics.
Yep.
But, you know, just give myself the better title, I think.
So when you were looking at K-State, you know, were you kind of looking baseball first for your grad year, or were you looking for somewhere that you could play baseball, but also the data analytics was the important part? And then, you know, as I think about like was it more like a certificate 1 year program you were looking for as well? Like, you know, what directed you to K-State in that decision?
Yeah. So, I mean, it was mostly a baseball decision. You know, I kind of got in the portal. It was basically a baseball decision, but I also had, you know, my parents were in my ear and they were like, you know, go somewhere where you can continue education, get something meaningful, help your career in the long run. So it was nice. K-State had a certificate, which is a one-year program, but then they asked me to come back, and so now I'm finishing my master's.
Nice. It's a good halfway mark between where you're at Augie. I mean, Manhattan, Kansas, it's only, what, 8 hours, something like that, from, you know, from Colorado, so not too bad.
Yeah, it's like 7. It's nice. It's a little shorter than the 12 it was for Rock Island, but
yeah, just as boring though. As boring.
Yep. Instead of 12 on I-80, it's 12 on, or it's 7 on I-70. So it's a lot of flat.
It is. I mean, pretty much once you get out of like, you know, you're east of like, you know, Denver and Aurora and heading, you know, east on I-70, it's like, you know, eastern Colorado is like the most barren, and western part of Kansas is like some of the most like barren country in the world, and you can just see for miles. And I don't envy that drive. We were down in Manhattan, Kansas, me and my wife, were when we lived in Denver. We met her parents in Manhattan there at the state park, and we camped there for like a week. That was not a ton of fun. Driving through that.
A lot of windmills. Yeah, that's the
experience. It is. So is this, you know, as a grad assistant then, are you on payroll then, or is it considered more like an unpaid internship? Like, how does that set up?
It's basically an unpaid internship. I get like a stipend kind of scholarship sort of deal.
Okay.
So I kind of look at it as an internship sort of.
Yep. Do you get like housing? Is all that kind of a part of it? Like you would be like a normal student, or do you still have to pay for housing kind of outside of it?
The stipend basically covers my expenses. So that's kind of basically where, yeah.
Got it. That's a pretty good setup. And what are you doing as a grad assistant with data analytics for the team? Like, just kind of talk through that.
Essentially with our TrackMan system, which basically is game tracking, it covers all the pitch metrics, kind of game data, exit velocity, stuff like that. After every game, I get a file that I download onto my computer, and I run all our TrackMan reports, is basically the data side. And then I send those out to our coaches. And then during games, I'm in the bullpen. I'm kind of a walkie guy, bullpen coach. And then during practice, I just kind of hang out with our pitching coach. We talk through things, go through kind of game plans, that sort of thing. mm-hmm. a kind of assistant pitching coach is kind of how I see it.
Got it. So, yeah. I mean, you know, when you get the file and all that data, are you essentially like creating measures and all that stuff, or does it pretty much come out of the system, you know, in a nice, you know, nice file, nice format, you know, format where you can organize all the data, or the data's already been organized, or do you have to do all that before you send it off to the coaches?
So it comes to me in basically a big Excel file it tracks so much stuff. It's unbelievable. And then I run it through, we have a Python code that just makes puts it into a pretty easily readable format. And then I send it to the coaches, and then I send it to the players that pitched.
Okay.
Just to look at it. Yeah. So it's basically pretty automated at this point.
Is it? Now, have you ever had to do anything with the Python code at all, or did you have to create that, or is it something that was kind of already in place? When you got into that role?
Yeah, we had the same thing last year. So the person who did what I do now last year, I don't know who made it, but it was passed down to me, and then I've made a few adjustments, just ease of life stuff. Kind of makes it a little easier. But yeah, I've done a little bit, but not too much.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I know I was trying to, I was working with the data analytics senior inquisition last year at Augie. To really pull in everything on the NC2A site for every Division III football team, and then also every D3 baseball team. But my hang up was I still struggle a little bit with like RStudio is what they put it in and what they used. So I've just been kind of struggling with that a little bit. So I've got like individually, like Power Queries, I'm just going in and tapping in and kind of breaking down the URL and adjusting those inputs. I'm like, I need to figure this RStudio out, because it would be probably so much easier to manage that stuff.
R isn't too bad. I use mostly Python. It's just what I'm experienced with. But R is, same thing.
I mean, I'm literally like, trying to learn how to drive a race car when I don't even have my, learner's permit. So with that type of stuff.
I took enough classes in it now that it's unfortunately pretty easy.
Pretty easy. Well, yeah. Now,
I understand.
So during the game, one of the things I think is pretty cool. I know, I watched a lot of the K-State games last year, obviously, because you were pitching. So, I had you on, I had K-State on an alert. So I was always watching, and hope you would pitch. And one of the things I thought was really cool is the baseball team, must have someone in the communications or marketing department with them that, during the game, is putting a ton of stats out on Twitter, X, and posting that stuff during the game. Now, does like your role have any interaction with them, or is that like a separate, is that a separate group that, would push those like in-game, stats out, spin rates, there was velo, there's like exit velocity, there's all kinds of stuff they were pulling from. And I thought it was super cool just to follow, and see, but, I don't know, is it a separate group that does that, or how do you kind of interact with them?
The baseball analytics page on Twitter, X, that's actually just the guys that run the TrackMan, who are kind of my guys, I guess, the analytics team. And then so they just, when a pitch gets thrown that they want to post, they put it all together, they run the account, and they put all that stuff out there. So that's basically the analytics team that does that.
Yeah, that's super cool. Super cool. Now, when you take that stuff and you're thinking about like developing like, training plans or kind of pitch plans, how do you kind of use that data to like identify like strengths and weaknesses of either, current pitching staff or, maybe teams that you're going against? Like, how do you use it just for game planning?
Yeah. So we kind of, a lot of the numbers, especially obviously velo, but the one we've kind of looked at is vertical approach angle, which is the angle it kind of comes through the zone down. So it kind of helps us know if a fastball plays up or down, you know, curveballs, how steep they are, that sort of thing. So it just helps us know where certain pitches are the most effective, I think is kind of the best way to put it. And then it lets us game plan off that sort of thing.
Got it. That's pretty cool. You know, so like, so you talked a little bit about that. Are there any other like stats or metrics that you've kind of found to be valuable or, you know, important when you're assessing like broader teams or, you know, certain approaches at the plate? Is there anything else that, that kind of popped to mind?
I think so. Vertical approach angles, obviously kind of the big one, I think. Velo, from a hitting perspective, it just helps you know, like if a guy has a really good vertical, then you should lay off the pitch at the top of the zone and then look for something down. And if it's plays down, you should look for something up, that sort of thing. And then we get like, it has zone data too. So it helps us know how many pitches are in the zone, like percentage wise. So that can help just kind of know strike throw or not strike throw or sort of things.
Yeah.
It lets you game plan a little bit off that.
Now, are you getting any data during the game on the opposing team as well while they're pitching? Is it
not
mostly like prep coming in?
Yeah, it's prep coming in and then game data after the game.
Got it.
Yeah.
I mean, God, I think about, you know, some of that cool stuff that, you know, I would love to have or have like accessibility to, you know, what I'm calling the Augie games. Occasionally I love it when, you know, the opposing team, you know, is sitting right in front of the press box and, you know, they've got their radar gun and they're shooting it. So I can at least get speed. You know, it's sometimes hard from my angle where it's at to identify, you know, a lot of pitches. Like fastballs are pretty easy, but a few others, it's like, oh, it's kind of tough to see given my vantage point. And, but yeah, I'm like, I really next year just need to like go buy my own like radar gun, put it in the window just so I can at least get speed. Little minor things, you know, to talk about. So, you may not even know this, but like that type of system, like how much does something like that, you know, cost from like an initial purchase point? Would you guess?
The TrackMan, I think it was $20,000 to put it in, and then there's like a subscription to keep it, basically. I think it's somewhere around there, I think.
Yeah, that's not cheap.
No. No, it's not. Yeah, I'm glad it's not coming out of my pocket.
Yeah. You know, and thinking back to pitching, you know, is there anything that you know now, you know, seeing metrics, seeing analytics, that you wished you would have known either pitching last year? Maybe you had, you know, access to the data, obviously, last year from the prior grad assistant. But even going back to, like, you know, your time at Augie, like, what have you learned about pitching that's maybe been some aha moments that you maybe didn't, you know, have as much exposure to coming into K-State?
Yeah, I mean, I think the main thing is just kind of having a more, I'm a numbers guy, so it helps me make sense of things. Some people don't need it, but like just having a more overview of what my stuff is doing, I think helped a lot. Like knowing that my slider, you know, moves more horizontally so I can locate it better. Knowing my fastball comes in, sinks down a little bit, or, you know, whatever it is. Just having an overall sense of what my stuff is doing, I think, is nice.
Yeah. Do you guys have the high speed camera so that like when you're throwing, you know, like a curveball or something, you can actually see it coming, you know, kind of rolling off your fingers? Like, do you have something to that perspective that slows it down so much so you can see how the ball like exits your hand?
We didn't last year. We just got this year some new, like, they're super slow-mo. It's unbelievable. But like just super slow-mo that you can kind of see that stuff. But it's tough to, like, you got to kind of know what you're looking for, sort of thing. So it only helps in some cases.
Yeah.
But it's super cool. We're using it.
That's probably one of those things, right? Like, once you start using it, you'll get better with the use of the tool, right? Kind of over time. So, So you're talking about like your slider, you know, having that information, like what was other information that, you know, you liked when you were pitching last year, you know, that you wanted to be fed kind of after a game and you sat down and you wanted to understand and break down, like, were there things that, you just generally kind of gravitated to a little bit based on like maybe the pitches or the pitching style, you know, that you enjoyed?
I mean, velo.
Yeah.
Velo was always kind of the first thing I looked at just to, you know, it helped me know if everything was kind of working. And then the main thing was I was trying to get my slider to be harder all year. So I'd look at that velo. I wanted it to get to 80, 81, somewhere in there, but sometimes it was low. So just kind of knowing that. And then, yeah, I think that was the main thing. Because really, once it was in-game, it was just kind of how I did in-game. I kind of felt like whatever I had is what I had.
Yep. Yep, no, that makes sense. Well, I mean, pitching last year, it's like, you know, you appeared in 17 games. You started 13 of them. You know, you had the fourth most innings pitched on the team last year, which I thought was awesome. What were some of the differences like you noticed making the jump from pitching, you know, at Division III in the CCIW and in the NCAA tournament to, you know, Division I?
Yeah, I think the biggest difference for me was just that, like, every hitter is, like, you know, all due respect to everyone in the CCIW, it's a great league, but, like, the nine hole is probably not going to take you deep in the CCIW, whereas the nine hole on Oklahoma's going to hit one 500 feet off you if you throw one down the middle. And that was kind of, it was just every pitch has to be 100% focused all the time. And that was, I think, the biggest difference for me. I had a hard time getting through the second time through the order. So a lot of my starts were like, you know, 3-4 innings because it would roll over and then it would be like, ooh, he's starting to get hit a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, when I was talking to Chase and Harry, I mean, that's kind of the same stuff they talked about. It's like, it's really the depth of the talent is the big difference, right? It's like, you know, you're, you know, 1, 2, 3 and four hitter, you know, in Division III, those are spread, you know, through all nine, you know, folks in the batting lineup. So, like, you know, Chase, you know, I laughed at Chase because he's like, you know, I was a great Division III hitter. I was, you know, an okay, you know, hitter at Valpo. But he's like, but when I saw, you know, like Alabama play and some of like the top tier programs, he's like, I'm not very good at baseball. So, you know, so you start to kind of see and understand the level of, you know, what that looks like. So it's, you know, it's certainly pretty interesting. You know, coming, one of the things I was curious on, you know, because you got a lot of innings pitched and it felt like you really stepped into a pretty good rotation, you know, for the bullpen. And it's like coming off that, you know, 2023 All-American season at Augie, stepping onto the field at Kansas State, like, did you have to deal with the perception of, yeah, but that was Division III, or yeah, but you were a Division III, you know, pitcher? Did any of that stuff ever seem to like come up or kind of creep up?
A little bit. The advantage I had was the year before we had a D3 pitcher, Owen Borma, came from a D3 in Minnesota and was the Friday guy, like ace for the staff the year before and the year I was there. So it's not like I wasn't the first D3 guy to roll through. And honestly, Owen had a ton of success. So it's that stigma was kind of gone when I got there. So that was actually really nice. When I had those doubts, I could be like, oh, Owen came here and did really well. So it's not like the jump is possible and easily, you know, I can do it too, sort of deal.
Well, and it feels like...
Go ahead. The coaches obviously, you know, believed in me and helped me through that too, you know, made sure they knew my stuff was good enough so that I had the confidence to go do it.
You know, did you like, Well, one of the things I was thinking a little bit about, it's like the talent of baseball amongst all three divisions definitely feels like the skill gap is a lot closer than people anticipate. You know, when you think about, you know, and we're talking about the, you know, some of the top division three guys, right? Two division one. Like you said, those, you know, 7, 8, 9, you know, they're, I don't think they're necessarily in that comparison, you know, very often. But when you take your top, you know, studs or aces from division three, regardless of it, with it's a bat or on the mound, you know, they can compete, and certainly seeing that. And, you know, it's like Pacific Lutheran. I mean, they split the series with Washington earlier this year, you know, and Pacific Lutheran is a D3, you know, D3 school. So I think, you know, I think that definitely there's that skill gap, you know, is a lot closer than probably people realize. So
100%. My, what was it? My fifth year, Iowa got beat by Loris.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then my sophomore year, we went to UIC and we almost beat them. We probably should have beat them looking back. But, you know, going in, I kind of knew that. And that was, the skill gap's not that big, really.
No. No. And I mean, I think, you know, especially when Augie went up to play Iowa this year, like they saw, you know, their main guys. Now, granted, it was, you know, the game didn't count, you know, for anything. So it was just more like get as many people as you can in and rotate kind of through and, you know, just for kind of exposure and, you know, the fun of it. You know, and I was having a great year. So it's like same point, you know, we were competing with them for the first few. And then, you know, as we started kind of rotating, you know, folks in and out, then, you know, again, it was the depth, right? It was the depth that started to kind of take over. But, you know, when you started working with the, you know, the pitching coaches, the strength coaches, you know, were there any differences in what they focused on, you know, last year, like in that fall when you started working with them versus like your time at Augie? Like, were there things that were just, you know, either important to them, or they just focused on that was maybe just, you know, different?
I think from a coaching's perspective, I think the fall we did a ton of inter squads. So the whole fall was basically inter squads, which is similar to Augie. And they just wanted to see you go compete. Like that was the main thing for them, was go show your best stuff, go, you know, go compete against the best guys, see what you can do. And then they're just kind of evaluating that. And I think that's pretty similar to Augie, I think, in how they do it. And then I think the strength piece, same thing. It's just our strength guy here, AJ, I think he has more resources to be able to do kind of what he wants. I thought Jeff at Augie was phenomenal. It's just he's doing every team at Augie, whereas AJ here is just baseball. So he's able to focus in on us a little more, I think, and that is the main difference to me.
Yeah. Yeah, resources, 100%, 100%.
Yeah.
You know, when I was thinking a little bit about last year and kind of looking back at last year, like, did the initial expectations you had going, you know, to K-State really live up to, you know, now what you've experienced and what you're currently experiencing?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I came to K-State kind of expecting, you know, I knew what they did the year before. They were bubble team. And, you know, I went to K-State expecting to continue that. And, you know, obviously we made a super regional. And I think that was, you know, one of the best runs of my life. So it was, you know, super exciting. And now doing what I'm doing here, it's just still awesome. So, it's been great.
I mean, what's your plan for, you know, kind of after this year? What are you, you know, kind of thinking about?
I think I'm going to move back to Denver is kind of my plan. I'm going to hopefully get a job doing data analytics, either in Denver or remote, and then probably coach some high school travel ball stuff. Try to kind of continue being in baseball like that. Just, you know, do what I can to stay in the sport.
Yeah.
Kind of like that, yeah.
Have you thought about trying to do like analytics within like the minors or the MLB or, you know, any organizations like that?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the end goal, is get into, you know, get into a team or get into some organization like that and kind of do analytics for them. I think that's pretty much what I want to do. I think doing all this stuff for a pro team would be amazing.
Yeah.
With the Rockies.
I'm going to say, hell, you could probably go pitch for the Rockies right now. That is their plan. They probably would let you come. I'll throw some relief and I'll do your analytics on the side, you know.
Yeah, that'd be great.
God, they're struggling. They're struggling hard. Wow. You know, and I'd spent 7 years out there, and it's like every now and then when I catch a Rocky game, you know, I'm like, it just seems like it's so dead there. I remember, you know, when I went there, it was Rocktober, my first year in 2007. And, you know, and really all the way until I left in 2014, like, Rockies games were, I mean, they were always, you know, not always sold out, but they were pretty well packed. You know, there weren't a ton of open seats, you know, but they've really kind of, they've fallen off hard the last few years.
My freshman year at Augie was the year of the Cubs-Rockies wildcard game. And that was, I mean, I still remember watching that game with a bunch of Cubs fans and winning it. And it was fun.
It was a lot of fun.
Everyone else, but
yeah, it was. That was a ton of fun. You know, being out there and all the different opening games, and that's a ton of fun going downtown and just, you know, even if you don't go to the game, you know, you watch the game at like Sports Column or something, or View House, or you know, that's still like a great environment just to be in. You know, regardless. I mean, so, you know, as a Rocky fan though, like, what were maybe some of your, you know, some of your favorite, you know, players, you know, growing up?
Yeah. I mean, I was a Troy Tulowitzki fan through and through. Troy Tulowitzki, Todd Helton, Cargo. Those three are kind of my big three on the Mount Rushmore. And then, you know, Jeff Francis, that whole team, Kadire, it was just a fun team to kind of root for when it was those three going around. You know, had a bunch of other guys that were just fun to watch. DJ LeMahieu, Trevor Story. It was a lot of fun players, I felt like. It was exciting.
It was. I don't know. I just saw something recently about LaTroy Hawkins, because he was one of the main pitchers that 2007 year. I was trying to remember exactly what it was. It just came up. I was trying to find it here real quick, but I was like, man, LaTroy Hawkins is 52 years old. Like, it just doesn't seem right.
The Rockies when he was like 40.
Yeah,
like Roy Ear was. He was like the oldest pitcher in the big leagues for the Rockies.
Yep. Yep. Oh, I mean, so when you're, you know, when you're back in Colorado, like, you know, what are some of the other things you like to go do, or like places you like to go visit, eat? You know, what are some of your favorite spots?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big golfer, so I like golfing in the mountains. Go up to the mountains, just hang out. I don't ski, which is a little weird. But, you know, just going up to the mountains, hiking, that sort of thing. And then also, like, a ton of people from Augie are in Colorado right now. So it's basically all my college friends are in Colorado, going to hang out with them. Going to move in with Max Mead from Augie. You know, Brett's there, my old roommate. So it's just a good group of people that I have kind of in Colorado that I'm excited to go back and kind of join.
Yeah, absolutely. I try to get out there occasionally too. So, So next time we do, I'll have to shoot you a note and circle up with a bunch of guys. That'd be a fun time. So what's your favorite, you know, course then?
My favorite course? I haven't played any of the super big ones. It's fun at the altitude. It's really fun to hit driver
Yep.
That's the big draw. Me and Harry go play Saddle Rock a lot. It's kind of by him and Aurora. He works there, so we go play Saddle Rock. That's a fun course. But, yeah, just anywhere I can pull drivers is a good time.
The my favorite course is Fossil Trace over in Golden. That's a great one to play. A little pricey, but it's a ton of fun. You know, have you ever played Three Peaks there in is it Keystone, I think. The Raven at Three Peaks.
No, I haven't.
That's a fun one. So you want to talk about hitting from some elevation. You know, and you feel like, you know, you're standing up, I think, what was it, 9? I think it's 9 that's coming down, because you start off to the left and then you kind of work your way up the mountain. And then I think 9 comes off down towards the clubhouse, you know, and you're sitting there and there's a row of trees and, you know, some houses and stuff, you know, and it's, you know, you still got to poke at a pretty good distance. It's like 220, I think, to carry to the fairway, you know, but you think you're going to hit this thing 1,000 yards, you know, and then you find out like it goes up and it's just, you know, it's just sailing and sailing and sailing. Like, oh, this thing's going to go down to the road down there, you know, next thing you know, like it just hits the fairway.
that's a
really cool one.
I can and just slice it.
Yep.
Say goodbye to three golf balls there and take a drop.
That's a fun one. I like playing up in, gosh, I'm trying to think. Of the town, but it's got 3 9-hole courses. I'm just blanking on it right now. Bear is one of them. So you're going past Keystone. I'm like blanking on it. Another fun one to go up to, one of my favorites is, it is Steamboat, Haymaker.
Oh, I haven't played it, but me and Brett drove up to Steamboat one to do something for his mom's work, and up in Steamboat, and we drove by it, and like, oh man, next time we come up, we should bring our clubs.
That's my favorite. That's like, I love playing that one whenever I can.
Steamboat's unbelievable in general, but
it is. Yeah. It is. God, that one's so pricey though too. It's like, that's the only bad thing. Like some of those nice ones, I think Steamboat was like $350.
All of Colorado's going deep for that. It's nice here in Kansas. Well, not here, but in Kansas, it's a little cheaper, so it's nice. Yeah.
yes, that it is.
Yeah, it was nice to go play Saki for $20 and just.
Well, Saki, man, Saki, yeah. You know, when you think about, you know, kind of back to your time at Augustana, you know, what are some of those like favorite memories that you kind of, you know, in moments like you relive and, you know, you and Brett and all those guys like talk about when you get together?
I mean, obviously the conference championships, both of those were unbelievable. Going to North Central, beating North Central there. Then the next year, Illinois Wesleyan beating them on the second game. Both the endings were unbelievable too. It just, those are kind of the main ones. And then just kind of hanging out. I got a memory on my phone of us on the bus back from North Central, all singing "We Are the Champions." The, you know, after the Illinois Wesleyan one, the champagne shower we did in the backyard of the house while it's pouring rain. Just kind of those small things that you just kind of remember from those days, like, oh yeah, it was pouring, that sort of thing. Just the small things with all the guys, it's, you know, it's just fun to look back on and think about.
It is, you know, it was odd. It has been the last 2 years. I mean, Ozanic, because he's on North Park staff, you know, he stopped and I talked to him for a little bit. It's just, you know, odd, you know, to see him in like, you know, a different Viking, you know, apparel. So many cool memories. I mean, this was my fourth or fifth year, you know, doing the games and just all the cool experiences there at, you know, Swanson Stadium there at Bruner Field. But we did not have we had 2, maybe 3 nice home games, It was colder at our last game than it was opening day there at home. So playing in the Midwest is a little like...
Yeah, I saw you talking to Harry about that. He's like, yeah, I'm in Houston. It's beautiful all the time. And I'm like, I'm in Kansas. It's windy. We've got the heater out in the bullpen in April. It's, you know, same sort of deal at Augie. Just Midwest weather. You never know what you're going to get.
No, no, you don't. Well, today actually kicks off.
The rain is going to come through. So it's like, well, never really know.
Yeah. What, you know, other than that, I mean, you know, it, you know, one of the other things I was talking to Harry a little bit about, a couple Mondays ago, you know, especially like the 2022, 2023 seasons, and in particular, like how competitive you two were, you know, for each game, you know, Friday, Saturday, you know, starts. You know, was there ever just like a kind of a back and forth challenge that, you know, you just kind of just sticks in your mind, you know, that you either, you know, wanted to win or ended up winning? I know you two were like super competitive throughout the entire season, you know, when it came to strikeouts or, you know, whatever the case was. Any of those things kind of pop up?
The thing I remember most is we'd start back to back on doubleheaders. So he'd start game one, I'd start game two. And after almost every game, I'd go up, how many strikeouts you get? And then I'd try to beat him in game two. Just kind of, just that small competitiveness of me versus Harry was just, you know, I think it brought both of us up. I'll never forget, we both started against Carthage. We laugh about this all the time. But we both start against Carthage. He goes first game, like, I think he shut him out, 9 innings, 12 strikeouts. And after the game, he goes, 12 strikeouts, beat that. And then I went and I think I threw 8 and got 13 strikeouts. And after the game, I kind of laughed. And was,
I love it. I love it.
Yeah. It brought both of us, it got both of us better too. It was just a lot of fun doing that with him. We still do it. We'll still, you know, he'll throw pitcher of the year at me. And I'm like, I can't beat that.
I mean, there's one, right? Yeah. But no, I mean, you know, I was just looking at like, you know, the stats from that. It's like, you know, you ended with a 2.88 career ERA, 175 innings pitched, 223 strikeouts, like, 16 wins, you know, you appeared in 38 games. You know, you had a 234 batting average against you, you know, and heck, that was a 219 in your last year. So it's like, you know, taking a look back just at the overall career there, you know, not including the success you had at Kansas State. You know, it's a pretty impressive career, man. I know just for me, like I'm super appreciative to have been able to experience it and experience what, you know, those teams have done over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years. You know, so for me, it's kind of easy to be a kind of a nice little super fan here. You know, it's like just the legacy you guys have built, the name, you know, and the brand you guys, you know, you built for Augustana, and continue to add on to Augustana, you know, and the great brand they already had. It was just cool to watch. So, you know, so as a fan, you know, someone who calls the games, like, appreciate. I appreciate all those memories. So, you know, thank you. Thank you for those.
Yeah, thank you. It's a great place to go play, I think. Like, you know, it's just a lot of fun being there, and a lot of credit to the coaches for helping me through it. And it was one of like 2 D3s that said, yeah, you can come play for me in high school. So it's like, well, you know, it's nice kind of to be able to give it back a little bit. Ended up working out pretty well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, lastly, you know, if there's anything, you know, anyone in particular you'd like to like thank, family, friends, shout outs you'd like to make, I think we can wrap it up here with, the floor is all yours.
Yeah. I mean, I'm thankful to all the coaches, especially Howard, G-Wall, BJ at Augie, just kind of helped me through that. And then all my teammates, you know, Harry, especially that competition, but same thing with Hoban. Me and Hoban had that sort of thing. You know, the seniors while I was a freshman, Mike Powers, you know, it's just a lot of people went into it, and it's, you know, it's fun looking back on it.
Absolutely. And a ton of success.
My parents did. My mom would kill me if I didn't thank her.
Yeah, can't miss them. I mean, all the weekends.
Yeah, all the weekends they went to, and you know, a lot of people went into it, and it's fun to look back on it and think about it.
Well, now you're in a position, you know, you can start to, you know, kind of start paying some of that stuff forward, and you know, it'll be exciting to see you kind of continue this, you know, as you jump into, you know, the coaching side of things. You know, I've always found a ton of satisfaction from, you know, coaching, and, you know, luckily I have, you know, two boys that are 8 and 10, and they want me to be involved in about every sport that, you know, that they can. And, so it's always a ton of fun. So I think you'll start to see and get a ton of satisfaction from that, you know, as you kind of start the, you know, the second chapter here, you know, of your life here soon. Yeah. So,
yeah.
But, well, hey, Josh, I know I got to be mindful of your time. You guys are in Kansas City, or excuse me, in Cincinnati, and you've got them coming up soon. They moved that game up, so I'll let you jump off here. But again, you know, Josh, thanks again for your time, and you know, obviously good luck here the rest of the season here.
Thank you. Really appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. It's a lot of fun.
Absolutely.